proceed to the final case of the day, United States versus Mercado Espinoza, appeal number 04-1228. Mr. McGowan.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Andrew J. McGowan. I'm with the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois, and I represent the appellant in this case, Mr. David Mercado Espinoza. The question in this case boils down to whether the district court's amended judgment is a final judgment from which Mr. Mercado Espinoza can appeal. Because the district court added a substantive, at least one substantive change to the judgment, as well as clarified ambiguities in the oral pronouncement and the first judgment, we believe that this is a final judgment from which Mr. Mercado Espinoza can appeal, and therefore this court has jurisdiction. In this case, the district court added a page about 9 to 10 months after the original judgment was filed. It happened to be a very complicated page, including many, many different conditions of supervised release, at least one of which was mandatory and others are standard. However, at the oral pronouncement of the sentence, the district court didn't specify, for instance, in the substantive change, that if Mr. Mercado Espinoza had not paid the fine that he was imposed during his incarceration, that would be a condition of supervised release.
These conditions that the court added, weren't these standard conditions?
Technically, there are 13 standards, and one, I believe, is a mandatory condition. The one I just referred to as a mandatory, but there are 13 standard conditions. I haven't specified them. They're generic, and they are part of the guidelines. They are, in fact, in many ways, depending on the district court, in many judgments. The guidelines don't require that those be put in there, but they are suggested, I believe, or recommended. But the district court didn't say anything about what standard conditions he was going to apply at the sentencing. And therefore, that page clarified this ambiguity, which this court has referred to a statement such that the district court made in the sentencing, which was, I'm going to impose the standard conditions that I have essentially imposed in other cases. That's not quite what he said. But because there's the substantive change in the requirement of the condition of supervised release that he pay any unpaid amount, and he was ordered $3,000. He was indigent at the time. He's indigent now. So there's no indication he's going to be able to pay that off while he's incarcerated. And because technically this is a clarification of an ambiguity of the oral sentencing, we believe that this is a final judgment. And because it was pending, this direct appeal was pending while Booker came down, we believe that Mr. Mercado Espinoza is entitled at this point to a limited Palladino remand under this court's jurisdiction and previous.
Well, he probably is entitled to be resentenced if this is a final judgment, because Judge Corr made it pretty clear that he would have gone below the guidelines here if he had an opportunity.
Do you believe that? You know, I'm not so sure how this would play out in the district court.
I mean, we send these Palladino things back to the district court to let us know if you would give a lesser sentence, and it's clear that Judge Corr here was not happy with the amount of time he had to hold.
That's certainly one reading of it. I mean, there are other readings. I really couldn't tell from reading it. He seemed upset, as the government points out, with the way the whole procedure, the whole Congress has implemented this, and it is very likely that he gets a lower sentence if he goes back. But that would be my reading of it, but it's not the only reading. Anyway, unless there are any other questions, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Shepard.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Manish Shah. I represent the United States. The change in the JNC in this case it's a classic clerical error. It is the clerk forgot a page in the judgment and commitment order. That is important because it affects the timing of the notice of appeal. The original JNC was imposed. That's when, within 10 days, a notice of appeal should have been filed. Clerical mistakes happen, and under Rule 36, they can be corrected at any time. There's an interest in finality and in moving these cases along that our deadlines are held firm to when the original sentence was imposed. The fact that the page had many conditions on it doesn't change it from between a clerical and a substantive correction. It's clerical. The judge, as frankly I think all district court judges do, at least in this building, in orally pronouncing sentence, says the standard conditions as adopted by this district will apply, and there's a standard form for that, and that's what this page was. Even the unpaid fine aspect of the condition of supervised release was a regularly imposed standard condition, and it is, I believe, in the current version of the judgment and commitment form, a standard condition of supervised release. The rules are in place so that these cases are disposed of and are final. It's obviously in our interest not to have appeals filed maybe 8, 9, 10 months, a year after the fact, when all that happened was the settled expectations of the parties was imposed. The fact that the defendant is not even appealing or taking issue with his conditions of supervised release, I think, tells you that this was a clerical error. It was an error that was corrected, but at the time of the original sentencing was totally consistent with what the party's expectations were. So the defendant knew what his sentence was, knew whether he wanted to appeal or not, or presumably should be on notice of that, and didn't file a notice of appeal in time. And it's in our interest that that be strictly enforced. The cases say that this is a mandatory and jurisdictional issue that therefore affects whether this court can even hear this appeal. Even if adding a page to the judgment and commitment order in this case would be not clerical but a substantive change, then what that means is the district court could not have done it at all. The district court did not have, under Rule 35, the power to enter a non-clerical change to the JNC. And if that's the case, it doesn't mean that this court has jurisdiction to review the sentence. It means that that amended JNC is a nullity. The district court had no power to do it, no jurisdiction to do it, and it simply does not exist, and this court could simply say that's vacated. The original JNC still exists, still applies, and all the timelines and deadlines flow as a result of that. The result ends up being the same. This appeal cannot be heard on the merits of the sentence. And so for that reason, for the reasons set forth in our brief, we ask that this appeal be dismissed.
Thank you. Anything further, Mr. McGowan?
Your Honor, I feel I have to respond to the last argument that if this is not a Rule 36 matter, then the district court didn't have jurisdiction to do it. And I believe that my response is that in that case, Mr. Mercado Espinoza would have the ability to appeal the district court's adding the page, even if it were a nullity. At some point, he's got to be able to confirm with the authorities, in this case, the most likely authority would be the Bureau of Prisons, that this does not apply, even though the district court did it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McGowan, Mr. Shah. The case will be taken under advisement, and court will be in recess until tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.